Praise the Lord. Some of you weren't here last Sunday. I made this announcement. I got this card from Brother Joseph Hammond. He's canceling his anniversary meetings. It says due to the outbreak of the Delta variant of COVID-19 virus. And they said they feel best to cancel the meetings for health safety of all. And so those meetings were supposed to be in August 20th, 21st, 22nd, but they're canceling them because of COVID. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that. I think Brother Donnie had to cancel his services for a couple of weeks, and I think today was the first day they had service back. So over COVID. And just when you think it's over, it's not over. And still be careful out there. Watch where you're going. And I know I heard on the news, Brother Jimmy, about Kroger's, something about making a mandate for wearing masks or something, and said they haven't made it mandate for you to get the vaccine yet, but that's something they're looking at. I guess President Biden made it mandatory for all federal employees to get the vaccine, and so a lot of other places are kind of following suit and doing the same thing. And so, Brother Phil, you got in at the right time when they was paying people to do it. Now they're making them do it and not giving them any incentive, just making them do it. Do it or lose your jobs, what they're saying. And some of that may be political. I don't know, as far as the making it mandate or whatever. Might be some political things behind that when it comes to President Biden. But anyway, it's out there. And people are coming down with it, and the numbers are increasing in Tennessee. So don't let your guard down. Continue to be careful. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we read from the scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you to be here this morning. We're asking God for you to be with us, dear God, in this portion of the service, Lord, that you take the message you've laid on my heart, dear God, as small and simple as it may be, Lord, but I pray that it'll be a help to the people, Lord, an encouragement, dear God, and give guidance, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and then I've got a couple other scriptures, Ecclesiastes, and also in Luke. But Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will shew thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Now turn me to Ecclesiastes 11. I want to read verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11 and 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And then in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You may be seated. What I'd like to title this message this morning is, I Just Want to Be a Blessing. And that was a phrase that most times Brother Benton said everywhere he went. he would get up and would either say it before he sung or after he sung, before he preached, and he would just say, "I just want to be a blessing." And Brother Roel Soriano over in the Philippines wrote a song called "I Just Want to Be a Blessing," and he wrote it for Brother Benton. And so that was just a thought that was on my heart. And I read this scripture here in Genesis where the Lord told Abraham that he was going to bless him. And he said, "But you're going to be a blessing." And so we love to be blessed by God. But God blesses us so we can be a blessing. So we can be a blessing to others. So God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to the church. So we can be a blessing to one another. So we can be a blessing to our fellow men. So we can be a blessing to sinners. So we can be a blessing to those, according to the scripture, that don't even deserve a blessing. And the Bible tells us concerning these blessings, said he told Abraham, said, "Whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. And whoever curses you, I'm going to curse." But he didn't tell Abraham, "Now, whoever curses you, you curse." He told Abraham he was going to be a blessing. And God would take care of, you know, leave it in God's hands. Somebody curses you, you don't got to retaliate. Somebody does something against you, you don't got to retaliate. Just leave that in God's hands. And don't go around thinking evil about anyone, no matter what they do to you, no matter if they do you evil or wrong. Don't go around wishing evil upon them. I believe that, you know, that if we're like Christ, then we don't want no one to be lost. We would want everyone to be saved. Now, we can't force people to get saved, but the only thing we can do is live the life as good as we can, and just let that light be a reflection, because he said that we were a city set up on a hillside. We were a light to this world. So let's just be a light to the world. And the way to be a light is when somebody does you evil, return that evil for good. And that you want to, and it says the same measure you meet with all. That same scripture there in Luke chapter 6 says, "Judge not that you be not judged, condemn not that you be not condemned." And so, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Not do unto others first, before they can have a chance to do unto you, you know. And there's nowhere in the Bible that makes it okay for us to hold a grudge. I was just reading this morning, and this is just something carnal of the world, but I was sitting down eating breakfast, and I was reading through the news that was in my feeds, and there was a certain screenwriter that when he was in school, he would write screenplays and things instead of doing his schoolwork. And he wasn't very good academically, but he would spend his time writing little screenplays. And when he was 12, he got in trouble at school for writing a screenplay instead of doing his schoolwork. And his mother was really upset with him. And him and his mother were from Tennessee. And he was born to her when she was 16 years old. And she was trying to raise him. And she told him, she said, "Your little screenwriting days is over." And he was 12 years old, and he vowed then that when he became famous, she'd never get a penny of his money. He'd never buy her a house. He'd never buy her an Elvis Cadillac. And so as time would permit, he did become famous and became a famous screenwriter for Hollywood and made it real big and made millions of dollars. And he was true to his word. He didn't buy his mama a house. He didn't buy his mama a car. And he said he helped her out one time when she was in trouble with the IRS, and that was it. But to this day, he still hasn't given her a penny. And he said it's all because of what she said to him when he was 12 years old. Now, you talk about holding a grudge. This individual, I'm not sure of his age. I'm really unsure of his age, but he's not a young man. I don't know that he's as old as I am, but he's not a young man. But, boy, you talking about holding a grudge. He held a grudge against his mama and decided he wasn't giving her nothing. And they asked him in this interview, said, did you hold true to that promise? He said, I sure did. Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that it justifies us holding grudges. And I told you this little story because it may seem kind of strange to you, but I've been around people who said they're Christians and hold grudges just like that. They'll hold a grudge. Somebody done something against their family, and buddy, they hold that grudge for generations and generations and generations. Brother, now I forgot his name. It's a young minister who's younger than me. He's a real good preacher. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but I heard him preach one time, and he said that when he was, his grandfather had a dealings with some man, and that man done his grandfather wrong. And so then he was only 3 years old when his grandfather died. But that grudge that his grandfather had against that man that done him wrong got passed down through the generations to him, and he grew up having a grudge against that family because of what their grandfather had done. And he said, I didn't even know what he'd done. I was only 3 years old when my grandfather passed away. He said, but that grudge was holding on. And I find that there's people that's like that, that they'll if something happens against their family, why, they'll hold that grudge down through the generations. And they don't just hold it against the person that done it, but they hold it against their relatives and against the rest of their family. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. Well, I'm glad somebody agrees with me. And that's wrong. We need to learn to forgive. The Bible says there in Luke, where I read from, I didn't read them verses, but it says if you forgive, then your Father will forgive you. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. And you know, somebody said, well, they never asked me to forgive them. Well, I ask you this. When Jesus was dying on the cross, who was down there saying, forgive us for hanging you? Nobody. But he said, while he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we know they had to do what they did, because if they hadn't have done it, then we'd all be lost. So they had to do it. But he said they didn't know what they was doing, so it said forgive them. And since he said that, then that means that there's still a chance for the Jews, because he said that. And we know that according to the scriptures later on, that he's going to come down and reveal himself to the Jews and show them the nail scars in his hands and his feet. And they'll say, where did you get them? And he'll say, in the house of my friends. And he'll call out 144,000 of them to be saved. Hallelujah. So if Jesus can forgive for what they did for him, to him, friends, let's look at it. He didn't just get hung on a cross. That was capital punishment. He bore the shame of the cross, which was being stripped down naked and hung up there. And they didn't tie him up. They nailed him up. And he suffered the shame of that. But even with the shame of that, could you imagine yourself in that position? Even with the shame of that, he said, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. So no wonder he says, forgive, and your Father will forgive you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we only have so many heartbeats in this life. And we're all measured out a certain amount of heartbeats. And one day on this journey of life that we're on, our heart's going to beat for the last time. And so what we ought to have in mind is, while our heart is beating, do all we can do for the Lord. Not all we can do for self, because this life is fleeting. This life is cruel. Look at what this life does to us. It gives us diseases. It gives us sicknesses. It makes us old. Sometimes it makes some people cranky. We need to get over that crankiness. Go to before the throne till you get uncranky. One of these days it'll beat the last time, and then you'll cross through the valley of the shadow of death. And you'll leave this side and go to another world. My father-in-law, Brother Bill, he traveled with my dad ever on mission trips, and they'd go down to Central America. He would travel with him all the time. And he's given a lot of testimonies about what happened on those trips. But one of the testimonies I can remember him giving was, he said that my dad would just, if somebody was in need, he'd just reach in his pocket and give them money. And he took, I don't know how much money he would take with him when he go down on a trip, but one time coming back, they had give out everything they had and didn't even have enough money left to buy him a hamburger on the way back. In the airport, they didn't have no money left. And he asked my dad, and my dad told him, he said, well, you can't take it with you. He said, the only thing you can take with you when you leave this world is what you've done for Jesus. And that's the only thing we can take with us. We ain't taking a car. We ain't taking our house. We ain't taking none of our money. The only thing we're taking with us is what we've done for the Lord. And how do we do things for the Lord? He said, whatsoever you've done to the least of these my children, you've done it unto me. So as we do to one another, we're doing to the Lord. Amen? As we love one another, we're loving the Lord. As we serve one another, we're serving the Lord. Amen? Brother Branham said, so if you want a blessing, let's be a blessing to someone else, and a blessing will return. Like casting your bread upon the water, it'll return. That's true. In all walks of life, you usually reap just as you sow. So let's do good, talk good, and be kind. People talk about us, we'll say good things and kind things, and good things will come our way if we give them out. Now, I was reading some things yesterday, and after I finished studying, I was looking at some other things and reading, and then something came on my mind when I got here today, and I looked something up and was reading in the back room, and I was reading about that incident that happened down in Houston, and you know, where Mr. Best got up and was challenging Brother Branham. And one of the things that stuck with me was that Brother Branham would not go down there and debate with him, because he says, "I don't believe in arguing." And that struck with me because that's how I am. I don't believe in arguing, so I don't like to debate with anybody about the scriptures or anything else. When it comes to the Lord, I don't want to debate over it, because I don't believe in arguing over it, and I don't believe in debating. Nowhere in the Bible does it say faith cometh by debating. You know, and it doesn't say faith cometh by discussion. You're not going to win somebody by discussion. But it says how they be saved unless there be a preacher. And how can there be a preacher unless there be one sent? So you see, preaching is not a discussion. When I'm preaching or some other minister's preaching, there's not a discussion going on. There's not a debate going on. There may be people out there that's listening that don't agree with what's being said, but they don't get to stand up and speak their mind about it. They got to hold their peace. Someone jumps up in the service to speak their mind about it during the preaching, they're out of order. You know, I believe if you want to make an announcement to the church, I believe what you ought to do is you ought to write it down, let the song leader or whoever's opening the service, they can read your announcement. You know, sometimes I make announcements like I just did here this morning. I made it before I prayed. And I made the announcement when I was getting ready to go to Ohio. And I had to make that known because I'm your pastor. What if I don't show up? You know, I got to make the announcement so you know I'm going to be gone. And then I got to make arrangements so somebody is preaching to you. And but preaching is not a discussion. However, we do enjoy your amens. And your the things that you say, you know, in agreement with what's being preached, it helps. And you know, so somebody, anyway, we'll get back to what I was talking about. Mr. Best, you know, had challenged Brother Branham, was calling him a divine healer. And so he wanted him to come down there, but Brother Branham said no, he wouldn't do it because he didn't believe in arguing. And so Brother Bosworth couldn't let it stand. He said he would go. And then, just to kind of cut short through this, we know kind of how things went. You know, Brother Bosworth asked Mr. Best a question. Does all the redemptive names of Jehovah apply to Jesus? And Mr. Best couldn't answer the question, and he got upset. Because if Jesus is a Savior, he was a sacrifice, then Jehovah Jireh applies to him. And if Jehovah Jireh applies to him, then Jehovah Rapha, I'm a healer, applies to him. And so he was kind of stuck, but he was upset, and he was wanting to show, you know, he was upset, and he stuck his finger in Brother Bosworth's face and had pictures taken and all this stuff. He just acted real terrible. He acted down there, and he said, "Bring that divine healer down here." And he just really cut a shine and acted real bad. And he was definitely in the wrong. But then, when it was all at the end of it and over, Brother Bosworth said, I know Brother Branham's in here somewhere. If he would like to come down and say something to the people or dismiss in prayer, he's welcome to. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. And Brother Branham said, he was up in the balcony and said that he heard that whirlwind come. And so he knew it was the Holy Spirit that he was to go down there. So he went down there, and when he got down there, he said, you know, Mr. Best here has a right to what he believes. And he said that's what the boys in Korea are fighting for, is for us to have freedom to believe what we want to believe. He said, so he has a right to that. So my point in all this was saying, Brother Branham didn't get up there and badmouth him, no matter how bad Mr. Best had acted and cut up. But he said he's got a right to what he wants to believe. We live in a country where there's freedom. And he said that's what the boys are fighting for over there in Korea, you know. And so he said good things. He didn't say anything bad about him. Now, there was a man taking the two men that were there taking the pictures. I can't remember the one's name, but the other's name was Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. And he was there was two of them. One of them was a Jew and the other was a Catholic. Mr. Ayers was a Catholic. And they was taking the pictures, and Mr. Ayers stepped up there. And they were supposed to not be taking the pictures at the one point of time when Brother Branham was up there, but something, Brother Branham said he felt that whirlwind. And when he did, Mr. Ayers stepped up there and snapped that picture. And when he did, that was the picture that the pillar of fire appeared in over Brother Branham's head there in Houston. And Mr. Ayers, being a Catholic, said he went back to develop those pictures and he put them in the acid to develop them. And he was waiting for him, you know, the amount of time they had to set in there, and said he was smoking a cigarette. And Mr. Ayers said that Brother Branham was a hypnotist and said that he hypnotized people, that he had witnessed it. A woman with the garter come up there, and the garter fell off, and he said he hypnotized her. And then a soldier boy that had been injured overseas and injured in his back and was paralyzed was brought in on a cot, and Brother Branham told him he was well to just stand to his feet, and he stood to his feet and walked out of there. And he said that Mr. Ayers said why he just hypnotized him, that boy. And so Mr. Ayers said, we're taught in the Catholic Church that these miracles can happen, but they only happen through the Catholic Church. So if Brother Branham was real and true, he would be part of the Catholic Church. But since he's not part of the Catholic Church, then he's false. He hypnotized people. Well, when he went to develop the pictures, he pulled them out, and as you know, he pulled out first picture, it was blank. And all the pictures he pulled out where he took pictures of Mr. Best sticking his finger in Brother Bosworth's face and stuff, all them pictures were blank. And all the pictures, only one picture came out, and that was the one with the pillar of fire over Brother Ram's head. And said when Mr. Ayers saw it, he had a heart attack. And they tried to rush over to where Brother Branham was, and they had guards out there and wasn't letting nobody in up there in the place where Brother Branham was staying. And but Mr. Ayers made it, you know. And so some years later, after that had happened, Mr. Ayers' son committed some crime, and I've been trying to search for it, and I can't find what it was. But he committed a crime that got him sentenced to death, capital punishment on the death row. And so he called Brother Branham. And Brother Branham got this call, and Mr. Ayers was down in Texas, and that's where his son had stood in the court. So Brother Branham went down there and spoke in the court before the judge and told him that they had no right to take the boy's life. He said what he's done, he deserves to be put away in the penitentiary for life. He said, but to take his life, he said, the first murder that ever happened was Cain killed Abel, his brother, and said, God didn't turn around and kill Cain for that, but he put a mark on Cain so that no one else would kill him. He said, so if that's what God did, then you don't got a right to take this boy's life. And so it saved that boy. And he didn't get his life taken. But from all I can tell, he did get a life sentence. But I can't, you know, trying to find something in the news from back there in that time era. Brother Branham talked about this in 1963, about this happening with going to appear before that court. And he was actually given an award from some society about saving a life. And so Mr. Ayers said, the very man that I criticized and that I called a hypnotist come down here and save my only son. And so I've all this kind of come to me. I didn't know how all this was going to connect when it was on my heart looking all this stuff up yesterday and reading on it. But it shows Brother Branham, no matter what they done to him, Brother Branham turned around and did something good. He could have said, well, it serves that man right. Look, he's just getting what he deserves. Now his son's turned around and done something, and now he's going to be killed. And look how bad he had. No, Brother Branham went there anyway. No matter what Mr. Ayers had said, no matter what he had done, he went anyway to try to help save his son. And he did. So he was a blessing to them. And nobody can tell me that Brother Branham didn't get blessed. I know he suffered a lot. He suffered over his mistakes. We suffer over ours. We suffer over our errors and things that we do wrong. You know, do one thing when we should be doing another. Like Brother Branham, you know, when he said that he listened to his mother-in-law instead of going down there and preaching to those people, and she called them trash. And he listened to her and didn't go down there. And then he said he'd have to answer for those souls. I don't know, you know, exactly what that means or how that'd be. But he said he had to answer for the souls that would have been saved if he'd have went down there. And so Brother Branham, you know, he lost his wife and he lost his daughter. And, you know, his wife was dying, and he went in there and she talked to him and she said, you know why this is happening, don't you, Billy? He said, why? And she said, you should have went down there to those people. So Brother Branham paid for things that he did that he shouldn't have done. And in what the quote I just read you, he said that we reap just as we sow. And the Bible tells us you'll reap what you sow. But Brother Branham says, so do good. If you do good, then you're going to reap what you sowed. You're going to reap good. Which reminds me of that thief. That was the two thieves that were hanging on crosses by Jesus. You know, and the one was mocking him and saying, if thou be the Son of God, save yourself and save us also. And the other one rebuked him and said, this man's not guilty. Said, we're guilty. We're getting what we deserve, but this man's not guilty. And then he said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. So that those thieves were getting what they had sowed bad seed, and that's what they were reaping, being hung there for being thieves. But then he sowed something good. He said something good about the Lord. And when he did, he got something good in return, didn't he? Yeah. He said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't ever give up on anybody. You imagine that thief had a mama. And that mama loved him. Just like any mama would, a real mama would their child. Now, I said a real mama. I know there's a lot of people giving birth that ain't real mamas. But a real mama would love her child. And he was loved. And he did these things. And maybe people would look at him and think, buddy, there's no future for this fella. You know, he ain't no good. He's no count because he's a thief. But right down at the very end, he got saved. So don't ever give up. They could come down right down to the very end. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm willing to pray that if God needs to bring somebody down to their end to get them saved, that he'll do it. I'm willing to see him lose this life to gain that life. Amen. Well, I didn't know I had all that. I've only read you scriptures and one quote I had. And we've spoke for how many minutes now? I ain't even made it off page one. In the message, 1956, and message in Exodus, Brother Branham, at the very beginning in paragraph 3 of that message, at the very start of that meeting, Brother Branham said, they told me they'd taken up an offering for me a few minutes ago. Thank you. I never come for an offering. I told them they didn't have to do that. I just come to be a blessing to you. But I thank you. I have, well, 4 children and a wife, and I have a lot of expenses. My expenses runs about $100 a day. You know, I've had people who didn't like to give tithing tell me, well, Brother Branham lived on $100 a week. If he did, then how come his expenses came out to $100 a day? What would $100 a day be in a month? Would that not be $3,000 or thereabouts? And he lived on $3,000 a month back in that day? Do you realize how much money that would be if you translated that into today? Anyway, my expenses runs about $100 a day, whether I'm working or whether I'm in the field or not. See, my office and so forth. I'll assure you that every penny of it, some of your living, and you've shared it with me, I'll do my best to spend every cent to the kingdom of God, and may he pay you 100-fold is my prayer. In another message, Great Commission, 1957, he said, we never come for money. See, they gave him another, they put up another offer. He said, we never come for money. We come here to help you and to have fellowship. We want to be a blessing to you, and we know you'll be a blessing to us. Now, he wasn't talking about them giving him an offering, how they was to be a blessing to him. But how they were to be a blessing to him was by their participation in the service and attentive to the word and actually responding to the word, and people that would get saved because of the word, and because of that, that's what he was talking about, that he'd be blessed, not because of the offering. Amen. But the Bible says we give you spiritual things, you give us carnal things. I'll read that scripture later on. And hear ye him, Brother Bam says, there's one thing left, there isn't one thing left, as I see it in the prophetic word, one thing left or one thing hindering the coming of the Lord Jesus this very hour. This was in 1956. The seals hadn't even been opened yet. Brother Branham couldn't see what was yet to happen. But he said, everything's been fulfilled, waiting now for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Well, we can look at now and say that now the seals have been opened, that the Revelations 10 and 7 has been fulfilled, and that we're now living in the part of where John represented the bride. And so there's nothing left to be fulfilled in the scriptures concerning our time and the coming of the Lord, except the coming of the Lord. Brother Branham doesn't got to come back. We don't got to set up a tent. We don't got to go into a little room. All those things have been fulfilled. All that was in a type. Just like the visions that John saw and wrote about, you know. And John saw these horse riders, and that was all in a type of what it was going to be, symbology. Brother Bram says, and if we're just waiting for the coming of the Lord, then how should we do this afternoon? We should speak and act today as if it was the last hour we ever had. Who knows but what it might be. It may be for some of us, it may be for all of us, but let's act as if it's our last hour. Let's pray as never before. Let's be a blessing to others and try to do all we can. For remember this, it's only one time that we're mortal. So be a blessing to others, because there's only one time that we're mortal. Once we leave here, things is different. Brother Branham goes on to say, and from this on, from the time we leave this world, we're going to another world, and there'll never be an opportunity to win one soul in that world. All that's going to be won will be won right now, and this may be our last hour that we should do on this hour, and it's slotted my time to speak this afternoon, and tonight I'm going to pray for the sick people. So, we're mortal one time. We've got an opportunity to get people saved now. How are we going to get people saved? By shining the light. By shining the light. That old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's true. You know. You can shine the light, and we don't shine it to bring people, to condemn people. However, know this, that because the light crosses their path, if they reject this, then there's nothing left for them but the judgment. And they'll be judged according to their deeds then. I'll tell you what, friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in that judgment. Because no matter how good I am, I don't think it's good enough. I don't think our human goodness is good enough to get us into the kingdom. Now, I believe there's a difference between doing good, expecting something, wanting something. So you do it with the motive in mind, well, I'm going to do this because, you know, I'm going to get something back from it. I don't believe that. I believe you do it, as the Bible says, not expecting a return. That's what the Bible says. And then said, your reward in heaven will be great. Boy. I'll tell you, when I studied this and put this together, I thought by now I'd be closing. But there is a lot here. Here in the message, now, I've got a reason for reading these quotes to you because I want to really make a point. But Brother Branham says, this is in Serves We Would See Jesus. He said, we've come to be a blessing to you, and we know you'll be a blessing to us. And through it all, we pray that God our Father will be glorified in our meetings together, for that's the purpose we've come for. We've no other alternative, he means motive, but that, and is to have fellowship around the Word of God and to see sinners saved, backsliders come back to God again, and see people healed of their sicknesses and diseases. And all these privileges is given to us freely in the vicarious suffering and the great atonement of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And we've come to share these blessings with you, and you have fellowship. Now, there's another message that Brother Branham was preaching. And he says in there, and I'll come back to it, but he says in there that we want to help you, not hurt you. We want to be a blessing. And the title of that message is Painted Face Jezebel. And before he says that, he says, I was preaching the other night on shorn sheep. Your sheep, and the reason the Spirit left the church is because the Spirit only stays on sheep. You say, now, Brother Branham, now you talk about us women and us men doing these things. If I want to take a little drink, Brother Branham, after I come home from work, that's my American privilege. He said, that's right. If I want to smoke a good cigar, that's none of your business. That's my privilege. He said, that's right. But if you're a sheep, you're willing to give it up and be shorn of your own rights and your own privileges. A sheep is willing to lay down and let them take off him what come on him. Is that right? You say, if I want to wear a dress and a skirt and I want to do this that way and I want to do it, that's my business. That's my American privilege. The American public puts it out and it's legal. They won't run me off the street with it. If I want to do it, I'll do it. That's my privilege. That's right, madam. That's exactly right. But if you're a lamb, you're ready to forfeit your rights to be a lamb of God. That's right. If you are a lamb, you'll forfeit your rights. That's true. So you ought to do that. And if you just go out and don't try, you say, well, I'm going to quit it. Pray till God just makes it so real to you, you'll quit yourself. If you'll just do that. And now we're here to help you, not hurt you, but be a blessing to you. And I pray you'll take this little old cut up evangelistic message tonight to your heart and go home and pray over it and say, God, be merciful to me. How many believes that is the truth and say, I'll accept it as the truth? Raise your hand. God bless you. Let's pray. Now, this... He's saying he wants to be a help to him, a blessing, and not hurt him. And he preaches painted face Jezebel. And he gets all up in their business about what they're doing that's wrong. And he preaches against sin. And he's being a blessing because he's telling them what's wrong. And he's telling them what they have, that they need to get to Christ. and they need to be sheep and lambs, and they need to forfeit their rights, and they need to surrender to the Lord. And he's being a blessing by doing this. So just preaching, as they would say, sweet Jesus, is not actually being a blessing to people. But preaching the truth, telling them what's right, telling them what's true, that's how you be a blessing. Brother Branham dramatizes in the message of Father the Hour Has Come. He makes a dramatization about Micah. And Micah, you know, is being brought up there, and the other prophets have done prophesied, you know, and told Ahab and Jehoshaphat to go on up there. God's with them, and they went through their messages and that. And then they bring Micah out there because Jehoshaphat says, "Do you have just one more?" All that was being said, somehow, it just wasn't sitting right with Jehoshaphat. He said, "Don't you have just one more?" "Yeah, we've got one more, but he don't never say nothing good about me." And so they bring, and Brother Branham dramatizes, so they bring Micah out there. And when they bring him out, they say, "Now listen, Micah, we know usually evangelists, you know, they're real fiery. And they'll get on things. And they'll talk about betting on horse races." He says, "Don't talk about that, Micah, because our pastor owns a racehorse and he bets on the races." And says, "So don't talk about that." And said, "Now don't talk about the woman's society and their bunco games, because they have a bunco game every Saturday night after the prayer meeting." And said, down in the basement. And said, "So don't speak against that." And finally he said, Micah says to him, "Well, what am I going to say?" And they said, "Well, you can say something about the Jews. We got one of them in our church." "You know, but just don't say nothing, you know, against what the women are wearing and what they're doing. You know, leave that alone." And Micah had said, "Well, I've just come here to be a blessing to you." You know, and Micah got out there, and of course he went ahead and said, "Go on up," you know. And then, you know, but remember that the Lord was having counsel in heaven. And he said, "How are we going to get Ahab to go up there and fulfill the scripture?" And a spirit came up out of the underneath and said, "I'll go down and be a lie in his prophet's mouths." And he said, "Go do so." Micah comes out there then, and Micah says, "If you go up there, you're going to die." He told him the prophecy that had been prophesied by Elijah. And Brother Branham said they went down a whole list of the things he shouldn't do and what he should not talk about. And he said, "That's how evangelism is today in Pentecost." He's talking about the denomination. "They're afraid to speak the truth. I don't care if it hurts the pastor or who it hurts. It's God's eternal word, and we're responsible for it and the preaching of it. We must tell the truth. I don't care how bad it hurts." So Brother Ram's not against preaching the truth. He's not against people feeling like they got their feelings hurt because of something of the truth that was preached condemning sin. We condemn sin. We don't condemn the people, but we condemn the sin. We condemn the wrong, but not the people. The people have a chance. Now, Brother Branham, as I told you earlier, he went down there and got that heir's boy off from being executed. I believe he got ended up getting life in prison. Brother Branham said he deserved to be put in the penitentiary for life. And so could that, I don't know, I tried to find out what the young man did and I couldn't find out, you know, but could he be forgiven for what he done? You know, the Bible says that a murderer should not enter the kingdom of heaven. But could somebody that was a murderer, could they be forgiven and get pardoned? I believe they could. But until they get forgiven and pardoned, I don't want to really want to hang out with them. I'm not going to invite Jeffrey Dahmer over for supper, you know, or BTK or whoever, you know. I'm not going to light can't fellowship with darkness. Now, I was told, and it's just what I was told. I was told that years ago, and this was by Brother Perry Green, that a man came to his congregation and he got saved. And he wanted to talk to Brother Perry and the brothers in private. And in private, he confessed to a murder that he had committed. And he had been running and hiding. And from what I heard, Brother Perry did not turn him in. But Brother Perry said, "The Lord has forgive you." And he didn't turn him in. But what I'd heard, that man got saved. Now, that's just a story that I heard that was told. And if it in fact is the truth, you know, I do believe a man can be forgiven. But I also believe you do reap what you sow. And I don't know what the outcome later on was or what the end of that or what the rest of the story was, I don't know. But Brother Branham did believe in speaking against sin, calling sin out. And I don't know whether to just stop, Brother Todd, and call part two or keep on going. What page am I on? Page three. I'm on page three. Let's, is it all right if we just press on a little bit more? All right. In the message 1959, New Ministry, Brother Ram says, "Now, it's been wonderful, especially the 30 years I've served my Lord. If there's any regrets I have of the past, the years that's passed is because I didn't spend the other 20 serving Him. And I'm so happy to be a Christian these years. And I'm trusting God to help me as I journey down the lanes of life, that God will lead me by His Spirit and will let me do something to show my appreciations of the cause that I was born on earth for. This morning, before I gotten up, I was talking to my wife, and I said, 'Honey, it don't seem possible I could be that old.' And I said, 'It just looks like the years have slipped by so quick.' But I said, 'I was born into this world for some purpose, and I believe that's to serve the Lord, and that's my heart's desire. What I would ask of you would be a prayer for me before you lay down tonight, that God would keep me humble in my heart, and would help me and bless me so that I could be a blessing to you people. I found out the greatest blessing in life is giving something out. Not receiving it in, but giving it out. What you do for others is what means so much.'" So he said, the greatest blessing is giving out. Amen. Now, I've come down to a quote that I did not intentionally look up, but it came up while I was studying on being a blessing. And you've already heard this quote recent, but I'm going to go over it again anyhow. Brother Branham said, "May I drop this little thing to you, brethren, as I know your different denominations. I never talk like this to the group of people, but in this locality here and throughout the nation, it's becoming now. If the devil can keep us separated, he got us shooting at one another. So he's got an open target anywhere he wants to shoot. And that's, and what's the use of shooting? We're shooting one another. So he can just sit back and relax. But did you ever, let me just give you, if you found grace, if I found grace in your sight through God, you take my word for this, brethren. If you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, when a man has done you wrong and he absolutely justly, I mean he's done you wrong and you know he's done you wrong and he's done you evil, don't mention that." That's just the opposite of what we like to do a lot of times. A lot of times what we want to do is we want to tell people how we got wronged, what they did to us, how they wronged us. We want to get sympathy. We want to get people on our side, you know. But he said, don't mention that. You take him to prayer before God. And don't take it in such a way, a selfish way, and say, well, I'm supposed to do this. But stand with your shoulder to his shoulder and stand in the presence of God our Father. Way a prayer should be made in the presence of God is say, Father, here's my brother. He's justly, he deserves punishment because he has done me evil. And I don't see why he did it. Then let God do the talking to you. And you'll maybe see what that man's been through. Now I noted down here, don't be so quick to judge, see what they've been through. Till you see what they've been through. A lot of times we're so quick to pass judgment. And we don't know what they've been through, what they're facing. And maybe, Brother Branham goes on, he says, maybe the devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. How many has ever been twisted up by the devil? End up doing something or saying something you shouldn't have said or done? Every hand in the building should be up. Because ain't none of us is innocent. We've all got twisted up somewhere or the other. Okay, I know I had another note down here crammed in there somewhere. I'll get to it just here in a minute. He said, the devil's twisting him up somewhere and caused him to do that. Though he's absolutely wrong, before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. You'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to earth again, you'll go over to that brother and shake his hand because you know what he's been through. You can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. No, sir. I don't believe, no, sir, even if he's a rank sinner. Now, I got down here a note. There was a time when, you know, David, I had kicked him out of the church. And I took him from under the blood. And we live out, all y'all know out where we live. And there's a lot of woods around us. And David was coming out there to our neighbor and got our neighbor to let him go up there hunt on his property. Well, I didn't really like that David was out there and we'd see him out there, you know, hunting around our woods. And it had the effect, I'm sure David was wanting it to have, it aggravated me a little bit. And so I decided one day I was going to get down and pray about it. And I decided I was going to pray something on David. And I got down with the intent to pray something bad on David because I was really upset. And when I got down and started praying, I couldn't pray one bad thing about him. But the only thing I said was, Lord, I remember times when he would call me and ask me to pray that he'd get a big deer that he saw. And I said, and I would pray and ask you to give him that deer to show that you answer prayer. And you would give him that deer. I said, so now, Lord, I'm asking you, don't let him get no deer up here in these woods. And you know, David said to Jessica one time when they came across one another, he said, I ain't got a deer all year. He said, I know somebody used to pray them on me, and somebody must be praying them off me now. That was before he got right, you know. But my point of it was, as a man, as human, I was wanting to pray something bad on him. And I was thinking about David in the Bible. When David would ask God to do something about his enemies, you know. But when I got down, it was just like Brother Branham said, I couldn't pray anything bad about him. So he said, you can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. I don't believe, no sir, even if he's a rank sinner. And I'm going to tell you something, David was a rank sinner back then. And he said, and what about a brother that's made a mistake? You know, people make mistakes sometimes. And we shouldn't jump on top of them with both feet just because they make a mistake. You know, they can make mistakes. They can say wrong things. Some people maybe has to battle temper more than others. It is something that Ephesians 4 and 30 says we need to put off from us, being sealed by the Holy Ghost, meaning this flesh is still in touch with those things. But sometimes somebody can make a mistake, maybe lose their temper over something, and you get offended by it, and you not know what they were going through, that it wasn't just you that pushed it. What you did might have just been the last straw. There might have been a ton of straws before yours, and you just don't know what they were going through, Brother Branham said. And so he said, what about a brother that's made a mistake? Then he says, sometimes he's accused wrong when he's not wrong. I've been there. I've been accused of being wrong when I wasn't wrong. And you know, I don't mean to. David, I don't mean to pick on you today, but I was accused of being wrong when I wasn't doing anything about David. Then when I did something about David, I was accused of being wrong. So there was people on this side accusing me wrong, then people on this side accusing me wrong, you know. So I've learned you can't please people, you know. You can't please all the people. So the one you need to please is God. He said, but if he is wrong, and if you take him to the throne of God and stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing he's immortal, maybe his destination rests upon your attitude towards him. And when you come back from the throne of God, you realize that we're everyone guilty, and we all need help one from the other. Amen. We all need help one from the other. Now, Paul, in the Bible, Apostle Paul, he was going about wreaking havoc among the church. He was bringing these Christians, bringing them to judgment, and was casting them in prison. And Brother Branham says about him here in an absolute, the very God that could take a little hook-nosed Jew like Paul, angry, going down there, putting all those Christians to death under capital punishment, and could change him and make him a lovely Christian, that same God lives today and can change law to grace anytime he takes the notion to do it. Hallelujah. Going to call me a holy roller anyhow, so I might as well get started on it right now. I believe that God. Amen. Yes, sir. So he can take the most vilest and make a good Christian out of him, a lovely Christian. Amen. Now, I'm coming to a close as best I can. I won't spend maybe a lot of time on this last part that I've got down here, but it includes about being a blessing. And when I was looking that up about being a blessing, these quotes come up in there, but Brother Branham says, I stand here till morning telling you just what happened when I seen that in that condition I was in, but just as low as I ever could, I paid tithes. And when I took my own money from the church here, from my campaigns, I'd take more, I'd give a tenth. I'd give it out to ministers. Yes, sir, I believe in paying tithes. It's one of God's blessings that's proven to be a blessing. You say, oh, that's Old Testament. It's New Testament too. And of course, in the Old Testament, God says, why would man rob God? And they asked, wherein have we robbed you? And he said, in a tithe and offerings. And he said that if you've Rob God said, you are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. And he isn't just talking about tithes, but he talks about offerings too. And you know, the way that this church continues on is through what you give. You pay the electric bill. You pay, Brother Phil mentioned something about that, something we had heard about some people there just pay the light bill. I hope that didn't apply to anybody here, you know. But y'all pay the light bill. Y'all pay the gas. You pay the water. You pay for the church note. You pay for the insurance we have to carry on the building. And maybe you don't know it, but our insurance, if we didn't have a kitchen, our insurance would be a little cheaper if we didn't have a kitchen. But our insurance is a little higher because we got this fellowship hall. And the kitchen. They because you've got appliances, especially a stove, and that, well, they charge you more on insurance because there's more liability there. And so we have these things for us to be able to enjoy and be blessing one to another. So as you bless this assembly, you're actually blessing yourself. As you give, you're getting a blessing back by having a nice place to come to. We don't have to sit with box fans in the windows. We've got air conditioning. When I was a kid, I remember a church was in, we had a Potbelly stove in the back. You know, and the only place it was warm was around it. And the closer you got up to the pulpit, the colder it got. Because it was in the back of the church. And I can remember people coming in. It was an old country church. And I remember people coming in. You know, just an old one-room country church. And set on the roadside. And I remember people coming in, you know, in the wintertime and standing around that potbelly stove keeping warm until service got ready to start. You know, we don't have that problem. We can come in and be comfortable. I have sat on pews in other places that I don't think's as comfortable as ours. Now, I don't know the pews were are the most comfortable thing, but I can tell you ours is more comfortable than others that I've sat on. And we've got a nice place, you know, and there's no rats running through it. Brother Phil. Brother Phil preached in a place in the Philippines one time, a big old rat ran through the church. It was down by the river, wasn't it, Brother Phil? And, you know, there's no, I've preached in places where you could see through the walls. The walls was boards and had cracks in them about like that big, and you could just see outside, you know. And I've preached in places where that the windows was just holes in the wall, and they had wood shutters that they could shut up on them, you know. But they had them open, and I preached, and I remember the one place I preached was up in Puerto Cortez in Honduras, and there was people standing in the windows, you know, resting, and people, the light, the little bit of light the church had, why, as far as it shined out the doors was open. It was just a one-room church house, and the doors was open in the back, and the light, as far as it shined, you could see people. And people would come in from all over, and it was just a small little building. Not everybody could fit in it. And there was people by all the windows, you know, wanting to hear the word. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I know I was there. I know God come down and anointed me greatly, and I tell you, I know the message that was preached was a blessing to those people. But it blessed me seeing how much they loved the Lord, that they would travel. Some of them traveled. They had Toyota pickup trucks and the small ones. I'm not talking about these big ones they got today, but them small ones, you know. And they had them so packed with people. I rode in one of them. And they had it so packed with people. The brother had a four-door one. And I was riding in the front, and they had people squeezed into the back seat. And there was people all squeezed up in the bed of that truck going to this meeting, to where the last couple of guys that got on had 1 foot over this side of the tailgate and this foot over that side of the tailgate on the bumper, riding like that to get to the service. Any way they could get there, they was coming. And that was a blessing to me, see, witnessing that, you know. And there was one time that my father-in-law came to me. I was working as a, I'm going to close. I was working as a electronics manager and in service merchandise stores. And my father-in-law came to me and he said, hey, would you pray? Said certain brothers said they need a generator and they need a little TV, a monitor or something, and a VCR. And so that they can go show the movies 20th Century Prophet and Deep Call to the Deep. It was down in Honduras. Well, I went downstairs and I got a VCR that I'd got from where I worked. Because I could get the ones that went on clearance, you know. And I brought one up and I said, ain't no use to me going and praying, brother, because I've got one to give. So let's send this to Honduras. And the church took up an offering and bought them a generator. And I don't remember where they got the little TV monitor from. I don't remember that. I don't recall. But they got one of them too somehow. And so this brother would go packing that generator. He'd take a rug and put on his back and put that generator on his back and pack it up through the mountains. And the other young brothers with him packing stuff to get up there to show this those films to people. And in 1995, I made my first mission trip over to Honduras, and that was after this had taken place. And when I went over there, why, they said, we want to take you up to a place to preach. There's no church. Said, but we want to take you up there to preach to these people. And the place was called Los Pozos, which means the holes. And I tell you what, the road, they wasn't holes, it was craters. And that was a rough ride going up there. But I had got food poisoning the night before. And I was bad sick. And so they were concerned about taking me up there. And I said, no, I said, I'm going to go. That's just the devil trying to keep me from going. I'm going to go anyway. I said, y'all just get me up there and I'll be okay. I didn't want nothing to eat. My stomach was so upset. Only thing I'd done was I drank some Coca-Cola to try to settle my stomach a little bit. And I got up there, and they didn't have no church, and we walked through. There was a pasture, and the way you got in there where this cow pasture was a fence came up this way, and then a fence come this way, and then they had like a U built around it, and you just walked through there, and it's too small for the cows to get through, you know. And we walked through there and walked through that cow pasture, and in the middle of that cow pasture was where the people lived. And they had a little house there. And we got up on the back porch, and they had packed that generator up there and ran some lights. And we got up there on that porch, and I preached, and I can't even remember what I preached that night. But I preached. Standing on that porch. And you know what? Only two souls come up to get saved out of all the people standing there. And there was a lot of people there. But after that, they took that generator up there and they took that VCR I had donated and they showed it to them same people I'd preached to. And every one of them came to the Lord. So that, you know, hearing that was all the blessing I needed, was to hear that I had done something that somehow had been a blessing to where all those people came in and gave their life to the Lord. So Brother Branham said, if you want to be a blessing, be. If you want to get a blessing, be a blessing. You know, and don't look for, you know, well, I'll give my tithe and offering and it'll make me rich. I don't think that's exactly the way it works. You know, I believe your blessings is in other ways. And I promised, and I'm going to close, but I also promised that I'd read you this scripture. Brother Bram said, you say it's Old Testament. He said it's in the New Testament too. 1 Corinthians 9:9. It said, for it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And then in Hebrews, it speaks about Abraham giving a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek, and about that Levi being credited for paying tithes while he was yet in the loins of Abraham. And he said, Levi accepted tithes of his brethren, even though they were all children of Abraham. They were brothers. And he said, but Levi who received tithe, gave tithe. And, you know, Brother Landland came here before we had the COVID thing happen back in 2019. He came, was the last time. And I gave him then some tithes, and then during COVID, I had stayed in touch with him, and he was having a hard time because the people, they couldn't have church, and the people couldn't get out, and he was having a hard time financially too. And so I felt led, and I sent him some more tithes. And so I'm not saying that to put a pat on my back. I'm telling you, I give tithe too. And I give it to the ministers, just like Brother Branham said he did. And so let's stand. Well, I preached kind of long today, and I sure did not think it was going to be this long, but there was a lot of things that the Lord brought to me while I was standing up here to be said, things I'd read and studied on and things, and I believe that they were good, and I believe it'd be a help. And so let's be a blessing to others. Not looking at what we might receive in return, but just leave that up to God. However God sees fit. If God sees fit to bless you in return here in this life, then that's fine. But if God sees fit to wait until we go beyond this life to give you reward, then that's great too. That's fine. Amen. I believe that a man not only gives an account for what he says as a minister, but I believe he gets credit for the souls that his ministry touches. And Brother Branham said, "You're jewels in my crown." And seeing God do work in your life, friends, that blesses me. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for this message that you give us today, Lord, and how that you brought it all together. I had no idea how this was all going to come to be. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you helped us, God, and brought all these things to our mind and our memory, Lord, and spoke through us. And Lord, I believe that it was good. And I believe, Lord, that you've done it for our good. And I believe, God, that it was for to be a blessing to us, Lord. Lord, now I pray, Lord, that you would be with your people today. Watch over them, God. Continue to keep them, Lord. Lord, if we should, some of us, never meet again, well, we look forward to seeing one another on that side when that time shall come. We give you praise and thanks in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.